In the few moments that we have remaining, I want to share with you, I want to talk to you about names. Names. And we're going to start in Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. It says, the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begot Isaac. Isaac begot Jacob. Jacob begot Judah and his brothers. Judah begot Perez and Zerah by Tamar. Perez begot Hezron, and Hezron begot Ram. And Ram begot Amminadab, and Amminadab begot Nahshon. And Nahshon begot Salmon. Salmon begot Boaz by Rahab. Boaz begot Obed by Ruth. Obed begot Jesse. And Jesse begot David the king. David the king begot Solomon by her who had been the wife of Uriah. Now, I could continue on down here, and because it gives a list, a long list of names. But I'm going to just drop through some verses and pick it up in verse 16 again as we get to the end of the genealogy. And Jacob begot Joseph, the husband of Mary, by whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. From David until the captivity in Babylon are 14 generations. And from the captivity in Babylon until the Christ are 14 generations. And we're going to pick this portion of Scripture up in just a moment. But lots of names as we go through here. Lots of names. Interesting names. Names, some that are familiar and some that aren't. I wonder who thought, did they have baby books back in that day to figure out what do I call my child? Some of you have children, and we got to pick the names of our children. I was interested in this. I went back. You know, 100 years ago, the top five boys' names 100 years ago was John, William, James, Robert, and Joseph. Top five girls' names 100 years ago, Mary, Helen, Dorothy, Margaret, Ruth. 50 years later, the top five boys' names were James, Michael, Robert, John, David. Not too much change there. And the top five girls' names in the 1950s, Mary, Linda, Patricia, Susan, Deborah. Now, you know what the top five names in 2012 was this year? Top five boys' names, Liam, Ethan, Noah. You know, Noah didn't even reach the top 200 names in 1950. And it's number three in 2012, Noah. Mason, Jacob, top five girls' names, Emma, Olivia, Sophia, Ava, Isabella. Names. And this portion of Scripture gives us a genealogy of the names and the generations, starting with Abraham, his sons, and just follows it all the way through until we get down to Jesus, the son of Joseph and Mary. Names. Now, if you are interested, you know, it's surprising how, you know, old names have become new names in 2012. I'm still looking for the name Ethel to come back. Gertrude. I had an Aunt Ethel, and she was a great aunt of mine, great Aunt Ethel. But that name may come back. If you're looking for other names, there's some good ones here. Boaz. I love Boaz. I think that would be a good name to name your child. I don't think Bozo will fit in very well, but Boaz, I think, could come back. Your Uzziah? Zerubbabel? I don't know. But if you really want to sort of start a new trend for 2013, these are some names. You can go through here and pick out some good names. Every one of these people were born as a baby. They grew up. They married. They had children. God knew each and every person in this genealogy. And, of course, if you've been listening to us on the radio, we've been talking about the four women that's listed in this genealogy. Rahab and Tamar and Bathsheba and Ruth. Names that are listed in this genealogy. All had a story of how they got into the lineage of Christ. All culminating till we come down to verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son. You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that he might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took to him his wife. And he did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. When you go through the scripture, you see lots of names for this one that was to come. Isaiah prophesied, his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. He's called the Bright and Morning Star. He's called the Root of Jesse, the Alpha and the Omega, and the Lamb of God, and over 200 names and titles to this one that was going to come, all speaking of aspects of his being. But the one that really strikes me the most, and the one that Christmas really represents the most, is in this portion of scripture that we read. That the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. This little baby that was born was Emmanuel, God with us. God with us. Now the question could be posed, hasn't God always been with us? Isn't he everywhere? Was he not with them before? What is special about this baby that is God with us? Didn't Paul write and talk to the folks at Athens and say, in him we live and move and have our being? Like he's all around us. He's with us. And yet in some special way, this baby was Emmanuel, God with us. And of course we know and what that means. The distinction was that God became flesh and dwelt among us. Wasn't just with us by his spirit. He was with us in a very tangible way. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. He was the God-man. No one else was like that. Jesus was man, and yet he was God. He was a baby, and yet his name could be Everlasting Father because he was the eternal God in human flesh. Why did we need this? Why did we need this Emmanuel? Well, we can't go into all the reasons, certainly not the time that we have just shortly remaining here, but one reason he needed to become flesh is to show us what God was like. It's one thing just to read about the characteristics of God. It's something else to see God actually lived out in human flesh. We see the love of God in Jesus. We see him forgiving the woman caught in adultery. We see his compassion as he takes children upon his knee. We see his anger with the hypocrites of the day that was trying to put religious duties onto people. And he harshly condemned them. We see his raising of a son who had died and restoring him to his mother. We see the heart of Jesus. We see the life of God. We know what God is like because we can see what Jesus is like. He was truly the expressed image of God. And if you want to know if your idea of God is distorted, you need to start reading the epistles and read about Jesus, because he is the expressed image of the Father. We needed to see a tangible form. We take for granted our knowledge of God today because we have the advantage of reading the life of Jesus. Many people before Christ, they viewed God as so austere, so far off, unapproachable. Even Israel of his day, God was a God of distance. But God came to us. God came to us. He took on flesh and came where we are. And Jesus told the parable about the shepherd that goes out and looks for the one lost sheep, leaves the 99 going up because he longs for those people that are lost and separated from himself. We see all of this in the life of Jesus. But there's another aspect of why God had to become man, had to be with us. And we find it in these very words that we read, that you will bring forth a son and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. The main reason that Jesus came was to save us from our sins. And the very name Jesus, 200 titles, 200, we could almost put adjectives of who this one was, but he's called Jesus. And Jesus means Jehovah Savior. God, Jehovah, the Old Testament name of God. Jehovah has become my Savior. That baby was born. God came down to us to save us. Said, call his name Jesus. The God who has come to save us. That's why he's called Jesus. The meaning of the word Jesus is so important to us. Its meaning is lost on us, but it means Jehovah. God has become my Savior. Call his name Jesus. If our greatest need had been information, God would have come as an educator. If our greatest need had been technology, God would have come as a scientist. If our greatest need was financial, money, God would have come as an economist. If our greatest need was pleasure, and we have all these needs, but if our greatest need was pleasure, God would have come in us as an entertainer. But our greatest need was forgiveness. So God came as a Savior. Emmanuel, God with us, points us to the fact that he came to seek and to save those who were lost. Do you realize today, in all of your needs and all of your living and all the things you're hoping for and you're working for, do you realize your greatest need is forgiveness? There is a judgment that hangs over the head of every person that's ever been born into this world and given a name. We were born in sin, shaping in iniquity. We all are lost and separated from God. And God has no choice, as it were, because of his righteousness, but to judge our sin. And it's called eternal death. Being separated from God for eternity. Our greatest need is for that judgment to be lifted off of us, whether people know it or not. Some people this Christmas think their greatest need is being able to pay my bills. My greatest need is to have a relationship with a family member mended. My greatest need is to have a new house, a new job, or whatever, a new car. We can go on and on what our greatest need is. It's amazing how our greatest need, people are oblivious to their real need. The greatest need that everyone in this place has this morning is forgiveness. You need to have your sins forgiven. Jesus came. Emmanuel, God with us. Call his name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. You can receive all kinds of Christmas presents this year. But if you don't receive the greatest gift of all, if you haven't received that and treasure it and hold it and thank God for it every day, that gift is salvation. That gift is forgiveness. And if you are not living in it, if you're not enjoying that gift, if you haven't unwrapped it, if you aren't reveling in it, if you're not excited about sharing that gift with someone else, then maybe you haven't really appreciated the gift. We can go through Christmas and not experience the greatest gift that's been given to us. Salvation. And so my admonition to you this morning, after all that we have seen and the, you know, the kids singing the songs and all the truths around, if you can just remember one thing, that Jesus was God with us. It was God coming to save us from our sins. He bore our sins on the cross. He offers now the free gift of salvation. Have you received that gift? Have you opened it? You might be aware of the gift. It might be a package that's still unwrapped. Someone's told you about it. In fact, you could explain it to someone else. But have you received it? Are you living in it? Are you enjoying it? And are you being all that God wants you to be as a result of it? That's our challenge this Christmas. And I think God would be the greatest pleased if every person here unwrapped that gift, received his forgiveness, and lived their life in the reality of it. I wonder if we could stand right now. I want us just to pray at the close of this service. Will you receive this gift this morning that's for you? Will you receive it? It's freely offered. It's for you. It's your greatest need. If you have received this, you desire to receive it, would you just lift your hand as I pray for us? Just reach out and take this gift. I challenge you this morning. This could be your Christmas where things change. Where it dawns on you that Jesus is God with us and he wants to be with you. Taking up residence in your life, guiding and directing you, giving you forgiveness and then empowering you to be all that God wants you to be. Lord, we lift our hands to receive this gift this morning. Lord, you see every person here who has an uplifted hand to reach out and to take this gift. Would you just lift your hands and receive it? Would you just lift your hands and receive it today? Lord, I ask that this gift of forgiveness, salvation, would really be given to each person and that there would be faith in our hearts just to reach out and to take it humbly, simply this morning. May lives be changed. May this be a turning point in the lives of people this morning, Lord, I pray. I ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen.